Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on a raid and brought back a captivity, a young girl from the land of Israel. She wanted on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her master, Mr. Israel, if only that my master were with the prophets who is in Samaria, for he would heal him on his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus says the girl who is from the land of Israel.
If you had, it'd have been my fault. I said, you read what I told you to read. Okay. Good evening. This morning after services, it was a discussion about a song or two that was led this morning that hadn't been sung here in a long time and that not everybody here remembered. And so it was suggested that we have singing sometime soon to kind of go over some of those songs. And David said, let's do it Wednesday night. So he asked me to announce that, and so I have. Wednesday night, singing instead of class. In conjunction with our green card and the things that are on there that our young people are learning, we've been trying to do our devos in conjunction with that. Now, the last one was about David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. There's a good bit that went on historically between then and where we are tonight. For instance, we had several kings over all of Israel. King Saul, who was king when David fought Goliath. Then later, after his death, David became the king for about 40 years. Then his son Solomon was the king for 40 years. And then, though, because of Solomon's sins, particularly his idolatry, because he married all these women who had these other gods and he bowed down before them, God split the kingdom up. That wasn't an even split. The northern kingdom, which would keep the name Israel, had most of the land and most of the tribes. The southern kingdom, Judah, which is where Jerusalem is, and the temple that Solomon had built, only had really the one tribe, Judah. The Levites didn't count as a tribe as far as the 12 tribes being numbered. But Benjamin was kind of associated with Judah because it was so small by this time because of some wars. It was kind of included there. But mostly the northern kingdom, Israel, the southern kingdom, Judah, and there were a lot of kings through there. Now, the thing for tonight is during the first 75 to 80 years of that divided kingdom. Several kings have gone by. In fact, the guy who's the king when this happens is a man named Joram. He was the king in Israel. He was the ninth out of 19. And of all 19, it said something similar to this. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. And he didn't walk in the ways of David, but he walked in the ways of the first of those evil kings, Jeroboam. And sometimes it said about them that they were worse than the ones that came before him. So he was the king in Israel when Naaman was a leper. And so our lesson this evening is about this 2 Kings chapter 5, about Naaman's leprosy and what we can apply out of that. Now, as we think about this, it tells us in the text that Naaman was a servant of the king in the Syrian army. He was a captain. And he was in favor with the king. But he had leprosy, an incurable disease. Now, I don't know if it's considered incurable anymore, but in those days it was. That it's incurable. If you got that, in fact, under the law of Moses, you had to be isolated out from the general population so that it wouldn't be contagious to anybody else in the progression of the disease. His wife, had recently received a Jewish handmaid, and she recognized that he had leprosy, and she told her mistress, "If my master, your husband, could only go to Samaria, which was the capital city in the northern kingdom of Israel, that he could see the man of God and he could be cleansed of his leprosy." Well, Naaman went, as you would think, he went to the king of Syria and told him what he'd been told. The king of Syria wrote a letter to the king of Israel, and Naaman took that letter plus his entourage, however big it was, and all the gifts that he was taking to the man of God, and maybe to the king too, not knowing how this would all work. And he gets there to the king, and the king reads the letter. Now he's worried. He's thinking that the king of Syria is wanting to pick a fight, because he says, "Who does he think I am, God? Because God's the one that cures leprosy, right?" But the man of God, Elisha, who lived in the vicinity of there, sent for Naaman. And Naaman and all of his group, they go out there. And Naaman is met not by Elisha, but by Elisha's servant, who tells him, "Go and dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times and your leprosy will be made clean." Now, Naaman didn't react to that very well, because he thought that Elisha would come out and do something, say something, wave his hands in the air or something, and he would just be cleansed, and Elisha or Naaman would be happy, and he would give these gifts that he brought to Elisha to pay him, in a sense, for that service. But that's not the way it worked. In fact, Naaman said, "Behold, I thought." You see, but it's not what we think that matters, right? It's what God thinks. And God is the one who instructed Elisha to do this. Now, another reason he was upset was because he's already seen, perhaps, the Jordan River and recognized that it's a muddy, dirty-looking river compared to some of the rivers back in Syria from whence he came. And so he made the comment, "Why does it have to be here? I could go back home where there's nicer rivers to do that." But that's not the one that God picked. God picked the Jordan River. And God picked that he would dip himself in there, not just get in it 1 time, but dip himself in there 7 times. So finally, when he was about so discouraged to leave, one of his cohorts suggested to him, "If he had asked you to do some great thing, you would have been happy to do that. But he's asked you to do something that you think is beneath you. Why don't you give it a try?" So he did. And guess what? When he did what God said, he got the result that he was wanting. His leprosy was made whole. An interesting sidelight to this is in Luke chapter 4, Jesus talking to a group of Pharisees. He had gone to the synagogue, and he had read a scripture and then said and pronounced to them, "This day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." And that didn't really have anything to do with here except setting the time of this. And in a discussion with them, and they said thus and so, Jesus said, "I say to you that in the days of Elisha the prophet, there were many lepers in Israel, and none of them were cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." I thought that was an interesting tidbit of information. Suppose that those lepers in Israel, you know they heard about that. What if they went to the Jordan River and dipped themselves in it 7 times? You think their leprosy was made whole? I don't. I don't know that any did, but if they did, that wasn't what cleansed them, because that was only the prescription for one person. It's not like, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." That's for everybody. But this was just for one man. Now, let's think about leprosy for just a moment. As I've already mentioned, under the law of Moses, lepers were separated from the non-lepers. They had like their own little communities to live in. They called them leper colonies. Because this disease was incurable except for divine intervention. You see, when Naaman's leprosy was cleansed, that was God doing that in response to Naaman being willing to submit to what God told him to do. Think about how that compares a little bit to baptism. Naaman thought that dipping in the Jordan River, that dirty Jordan River, didn't make any sense to him whatsoever as to why that would make his leprosy clean. But when he did it, when he submitted to God's will and he did it, it did make him clean. The same thing is true about baptism for mankind today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul talks about how that mankind in their wisdom think that the preaching of the cross, which includes being baptized in water for the remission of sins, is foolishness. But it's what God picked in order to save men from their sins. In Numbers chapter 12, Moses' sister, who along with her brother got on to Moses thinking he was thinking more of himself than he ought to, because do you not think we can communicate with God too? You're the only one that gets to? And God struck her with leprosy. Moses interceded on her behalf. And God told him, he said, if she had but spit in the face of her father, she'd be separated for 7 days. So let her do that. And she was separated for 7 days. But guess what took away her leprosy? God did. Because divine intervention is what's required. In 2 Kings 5, it was exactly that with Naaman. Divine intervention caused him to be cured. When Naaman submitted to the will of God, then he was cleansed of his leprosy, and not by anything that anybody did for him. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus healed a leper. You know, that's divine intervention, because Jesus is the same as God in that sense. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, he sent the 12 out, and he empowered them to do, among other things, cleanse lepers while they were out, because they had that divine power then to do that. And in Matthew 11, 5, when John the Baptist from prison sent some of his disciples to Jesus and said, we're supposed to ask you, are you the one, or should we wait for another? And Jesus' response to them was basically this: you go back and tell John that the blind see and the deaf hear and the lame walk and the lepers are cleansed and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And leprosy is a figure or a type of sin. Think about these things. Sin separates. Leprosy caused them to be separated from the main body. All right? Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59:2. Sin, just like leprosy, is incurable except for God's divine intervention. Without what God has done for us and without what He does for us in the baptistry, we couldn't be saved from our sins, because we can't do it on our own. We cannot do enough, live enough righteously. We can't do enough good works that we deserve to be saved. Only through God's grace and mercy are we allowed to have that pardon of our sins. And in Naaman's case, like dipping in the Jordan River, we allow ourselves to be submerged in water in order to do what? Contact the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not the water, 1 Peter 3:21, not the cleansing of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what cleanses us. Jesus' blood, we contact it when we're in baptism. And so you can see sort of the comparison between leprosy, a physical disease, and sin, a spiritual disease, and how it takes what God tells us to do in order to have it removed. And isn't that what we want in life? Is to get before the judgment seat of Christ and appear before God as if we've never sinned? And there's only one way to do that. That's obey the gospel, have your sins washed away in baptism, and then live a faithful life unto Him until you die or He comes back, whichever comes first. If there's something we can do to help you this afternoon to get your life right with God, we want to give you that opportunity, and don't delay any longer. Come forward, obey the gospel, or be restored as a faithful child of God. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing our song of encouragement?